Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. I love that saying. Amen. Well, it's a blessing to be here and want to share the word of the Lord and also touch on some things that's happened. This work has been a miracle from day one. And I'll share a little bit about that, but maybe sometime we'll set up a time for Pastor Karen and I to come and let you know through all the years, the signs and wonders and miracles that God has done in this place. And it has been many. We've had times where the presence of God is so strong we couldn't even stand up. We had to lay down on the floor, and it's just, God has been good. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we call forth your spirit right now to be upon us. We thank you. We ask that you would, Lord, just deliver this according to your word and according to your presence and your spirit, and that, Lord, all lives will be touched in Jesus' name. Amen. I've kind of titled this God's Perspective and Going Beyond. And it's very interesting because the Lord as Pastor Mark will say, there are times when you labor to put a word together, and there's times you just sit down and start writing. And so God's perspective is far above, you probably know this, but far above anything that the world can offer. Amen? By the way, God's perspective is greater than anything man can create and anything the devil can bring forth. God's perspective is so powerful, so high, so beyond us as humans, that we forget that through Jesus Christ, he connected us, because we're in heavenly places with God's perspective. And that God looks at your situation in your life totally different than he looks, or you look at your life, I should say. So Isaiah 55, 8, 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and your thoughts than my thoughts than your thoughts." And so I wanted to just say this to you, because to understand God's perspective, we must understand where he's coming and what he's looking at, and understand that he is far above whatever we could conceive, in order for you to embrace his ways and his thoughts. And oftentimes in a church today, we go and we look at this, and God is so high and mighty, there's no way I can obtain it. There's no way I can do the things the way God does. No way I can think like God does. That is all a lie from the pit of hell. God wants us to rise up, and take on the thoughts of God, and take on his ways, and go beyond whatever is before you. It's important. See, God's perspective is how he sees things, how he views things, how he thinks about things, how he operates. And I want to say to you that every aspect of your life, if you capture God's perspective, will be okay. I'll give you a couple examples. And I was raised in the charismatic movement, so we believe in confessing the truth of God. We were raised all our years in a move of God. I don't know of any time in our earlier years that we did not experience the presence of God. And it was very, very powerful. But Mark 10:27, you all know these scriptures. I'm not giving you anything new. Looking at them, Jesus said, "With people it is impossible, but with God all things are possible with God." Now, we dismiss that because we just know it. We all know it. You're not a Christian for 2 months without knowing that all things are possible. But the bottom line is that we do not capture God's perspective that all things are possible. And that there is nothing, impossible to me. You got to capture that, because that's God's perspective. God doesn't look at you and wonder if you're going to make it. God looks at you and sees the finished product. And you got to walk with God in the finished product of what he sees, to his perspective that he brings you beyond you. Mark 9:23 says this. Jesus said to them, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." If you can believe. And we reach another area where we say, well, Lord, my unbelief. Oh, help me, Lord, I can't believe. The God's perspective is that he has brought you in heavenly places and he's already accomplished in your life what he has to accomplish. You just need to walk it. You just need to believe it. You need to get a hold of what God is saying. All things are possible if you believe. If you believe that this house is a revival center that changes New England, and you walk in this place every single time you come here, and every morning you get up and you pray, God, I believe that I belong to a revival center in New England called River Valley. I believe it with all my heart. And you approach it like that. I can guarantee you this will be a revival center for New England. But we're always conflicted. Genesis 50:20 says, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about as it is this day and save many people alive. God wants us to understand something as we go forward, that life is not going to be a bowl of roses. How many of you know you're going to have problems? How many of you know that the devil is out there to seek, destroy, and take things from you? Not, how many of you know that? But you see, God's perspective is never about the power of the devil or the power of your situation. That's not God's perspective. God's perspective says, if evil comes your way, praise me, because I'm going to turn it to good. You never focus on the evil. You never focus on what is not. You focus on the perspective of God, that he turns all evil, everything against you, he turns to good. Romans is a favorite one of a lot of people. Romans 8:28 says, we know that God causes, say cause, causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And so all things are possible. If we believe, there's nothing impossible. Everything that comes against us, God will turn it to good. And all things coming our way, God means it for good. So your worst situation that you're approaching could be the very essence of the goodness of God bringing you into the thing that beyond who you are. A little prophetic driven statement the Lord gave me. He says, God is calling each believer and the body of Christ, the ecclesia, to have a major and radical shift of its life's perspective. God's calling each believer in the body of Christ, the ecclesia, to have a major and radical shift in life's perspective. He's calling us to do that. This shift is the movement from self-centered or flesh-dominated lives. This move of God's perspective is to move us beyond cultural induced attitudes, to move us beyond worldly indoctrination. That's what God wants. He wants to move us beyond worldly indoctrination. And he wants us to move us beyond every satanic driven perspective and mindset. And he wants us to move beyond all that into a godly perspective. Amen? Given Jesus Christ, the Son of God, given by him and empowered and fueled by Holy Spirit to be rooted in the Word of God. So God's calling the body of Christ, the ecclesia, to move beyond who you are, what you are, into what he perceives you to be. So how do I do that? That's mysterious. It does it, and we're going to talk just a little bit about it, because it's about relationship. It's about what you see. It's about the commitment in life. It's about where you're going. Amen? And I say all that because I just wanted to lay a little foundation. That if you're going to do anything in life, you better have a right perspective. And you better look at things the way God does. Because if you look at your situation without God's perspective, you're defeated before you get into it. If you go to your job with God's with your perspective, you're going to struggle and wonder when the next day you're going to be fired or let go. Who's going to do me in, or who's going to do me wrong? Or it's, if you walk in that lion, you will be defeated. But if you walk into every, if you capture what God says, then your life will be dramatically changed. And I guarantee you, the low places will become high. And the high places have become low. And I'll guarantee you that if you'll capture and you'll spend time, this is not easy what I'm giving you, but you must capture who God is. He's the sovereign God of the universe. And the devil is not more powerful than our God. We only raise the devil, raise our flesh, our self-centered attitudes. Amen? Worldly culture that has captured us, and if you don't believe, I don't have my phone on me, but a worldly culture has captured us. Just how many times do you look at your phone every single day? The worldly concept of even us being Christians is I don't have to study the Bible, Pastor Mark. I don't have to spend hours ingraining in that, because all I got to do is pick up my phone and go to Bible app, and I can pick up any verse I want. I really don't have to know the Word of God. I just need to be able to obtain the Word of God. But if you're obtaining something, then you're not being changed, and you're not seeing God's perspective. You're simply getting disseminated information. Is that all right? This is important for where this house is going. Well, anyways, back to the fun part. Many years ago, and many years of ministry, which included myself, I was a regional director of CBN, Pat Robinson's Freedom Council, which I worked for Pat for a number of years. I was assistant pastor and principal of a school at Rock Church in New Milford, Connecticut. And lo and behold, God did some things that without a godly perspective would have destroyed us at ministry. We would never be in the ministry if we had a earthly perspective. But God did some things in our situation at our church, and all of a sudden seemingly upheaval came. But out of all that upheaval and keeping our eyes on Jesus and not having faith in man but in Jesus, and knowing the call and the anointing of God, and knowing that if I walk in God's perspective, nothing that man brings against me will take me down. Nothing. God spoke to Pastor Karen and I that it's time to go pioneer a church in our greater Hartford area. So we came to Farmington area after much prayer, research, logistical planning, and God's perspective. Embracing the thoughts and the ways, embracing God's thoughts and ways and how to reach his people in this region. And so we came here not hoping something was going to happen. We came here because God's perspective was you need to do something in that area. Are you with me? So we came here. We had nothing. I had a Taurus, no money. All we had was the call. That's all we had. We had the call. We lived the other end of the state. How are we ever going to afford driving back and forth? What are we going to do? I was 48 years old. We're risking everything. But when you have God's perspective, the risk is minimized. Understanding that all things is what Karen and I came here with God's perspective, understanding that we had to walk in his ways and his thoughts, because there's no way we could create anything here. Who are we? We're just two human beings trying to find a way through God, and all of a sudden God spoke and anointed. And so we came here understanding, I want you to hear this now because that's why I read the scriptures. We came here, this church was established with an understanding that all things are possible with God. That we just had to believe and understand that whatever resistance the enemy or the evil in this region would come against us, that God would turn it to good because God causes all things to become good. That's the attitude this church was birthed in. We weren't wondering. We were just being obedient. Amen? And so on Friday night, May 4th, in that little room where the fellowship hall there, that was it. That was the church. One room. And we came here. In fact, it was my mother's birthday. And, you know, family, oh, how could you do that on your mother's birthday? Because God said. Sometimes you got to go beyond family to complete what God said. My mother's a Christian, but, well, she's with the Lord, but my mother was a Christian, so she understood. So on Friday night, May 4th, 1990, we showed up at Eastview Drive and we stood outside the door there. Behind us was an empty room, no chairs, nothing. We had the lights on. We rented the room from David Greenwood. And we stood there at 7:30, and there Karen and I was, Pastor Karen and I. I had my Bible, my notes, she had her guitar and her lead sheet. That was it. And we were alone, except for God. God said, and we believed, and all of a sudden there was a pickup truck coming down Eastview Drive, and in the back of the pickup truck was a brother with all kinds of chairs. Another car came, backed up, and they had all kinds of chairs. We had another brother came, so I had this pulpit from Full Gospel. I don't use it anymore. He said, I'm bringing a pulpit. We used that pulpit for the first, I don't know how many years. And so they brought, and the people came. And on May 4th, God did something miracle here. The people came and brought us way beyond any expectation that we ever had. And this is the reason I want to share this with you, because you see, what God did is beyond what we thought. But we embraced God's thoughts, so we accepted what he did. Are you hearing me? We didn't understand how he was going to do it. We came to the Farman Valley to have a Bible study, to start. Maybe we could start something here, a Bible study. We didn't know that instantaneously, on May 4th, we rented a room that 30 people would show up. And we've never looked back. Yes, we've had our ups and our downs. We've had many attacks. But I'm here to say you, this church has gone forward. So, knowing that God was about to bring us beyond anything we could ever imagine, he birthed this church family. God's perspective will always bring you beyond what you expect. God's perspective will always usher you beyond your limitations into a belief system that you just receive what God's doing and walk in what he's done. It's very important. We had one room. It was empty, as I said. And there was the Birth Rock Church of Farmington Valley, which was the original name of our church. And we changed it a number of years later. And I say this to you, and I can share many, many miracles on how this church was started. One meeting, we had 30 people show up. We had no money. This was at a hotel. We said, we're going to have an introductory meeting to this church. At 7:30, there was nobody there. 7:32, there were 30 people there. By the way, 30 people showed up on the 4th. We had no money to rent a building. They said, we want to start services Sunday, because we did our logistics. We did our planning. We gave them the one-year plan, the five-year plan. We gave them the vision of the house. And the first thing I said to these people is, I'm a man under authority. I have a pastor. And that cemented everything. And that night, they wanted to give us some money, and we said, no, we didn't bring you here for that. And he said, well, if we take an offering, will you accept it? And I says, go beyond God's perspective. Going beyond is the result of God's perspective. Amen? And that night, $1,503 came in. And again, we have never stopped. So for 29 years, this church body has preached the gospel in truth. It's worshiped God in spirit and truth. Has invited the Holy Spirit to have his way. Glorifying Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and always honoring Holy Spirit. We always honor Holy Spirit in this place. For 29 years, God has moved mightily. And I'm here to say to you and proclaim to you that you haven't seen anything yet. This church body was and is called to be a standard. I want you to hear me now, all right? Because this is just coming. Yeah, Mark said, Papa's time to preach. And then when he talked to me, and this is just me sharing with you what I believe God wants us to know. This church body was and is called to be a standard, a force, a light in this region, influencing and affecting the body of Christ throughout this region and the world. And this church has influenced the body of Christ throughout this entire world for 29 years. This church body, I just want to just let you know one way, this church body has given hundreds, close to a million, hundreds of thousands of dollars through ministries in missions throughout the world. Hundreds. I remember one time that, the hurricane in Louisiana, and a minister that we know lost his whole entire church. Gone. Everything. Their home. Gone. Everything. The Lord spoke to the officers and trustees and myself, and that week we sent them $20,000. Just sent them $20,000. Could we afford that? No, but God's perspective was they needed help, and you need to go beyond your belief system to allow me to do something of greatness. From God's perspective, Holy Spirit showed us that we, and even to this day, can do all things beyond anything we've ever imagined. We can overcome every obstacle. I want you to hear me. I know this is, I'm coming because I'm coming to encourage you. Because I know the place is going through some hard times. We don't hide that, right? We're in a season. I say we're in a season. God's perspective, seasons end. In fact, God has already moved on to the other season. He's just waiting for us to capture what he wants us to do. From God's perspective, Holy Spirit has showed up and showed you that all things are possible, amen. And that there is that whatever is before us, we can conquer. There are no obstacle that we cannot overcome. Defeat of the enemy is a foregone conclusion because we have Holy Spirit. We have the blood of the Lamb, and so all that we must move into the power of the Spirit. So no matter what obstacle you're facing, whatever obstacle in your life right now. I have a question for you, and I'll get to it just a little bit. Is that overpowering to you? Then God's perspective of life. Whatever we are facing, whatever this church is facing right now, is it overpowering? Or are we giving it to God and say, God, your perspective, move us beyond the problem. Your perspective, God, move us beyond the problem. Are you hearing me? So there's nothing in your life that with the right view of God and understanding of who God is, understanding is where there's nothing in your life that you cannot conquer, that you cannot go past. You can move beyond because God requires us to be a people of faith. And the way you develop your faith, and I haven't got time to go into that, the way you develop your faith is learn to walk on the beyond factor, beyond everything else. If you're staying in what you know, your faith will never take you anywhere. But if you move beyond what you know, like coming to Farmington with nothing at 48 years old, career ready to go down the tubes if it doesn't work, you got to go beyond. And because two people were sold out enough to Jesus to go beyond, we're looking at what we have here. Amen? So I want to just say God's perspective for your life and this church body is dramatically greater than your plans, your thoughts, or actions. It's greater. You've got to get out of your normal. You've got to start embracing God. What is it you're saying? Well, I can't hear the Spirit of the Lord. That is a wrong perspective. Because God is always speaking. You just haven't done enough to clean the wax out of your ears to hear the voice of God. Amen? So I want to say this to you. It is time for this church body to get God's perspective and go beyond who you are or who you think you are. To get God's perspective, you must go beyond what you know or what you think you know. You must go beyond your own perspective. You must transcend your lifestyle and capture the life of the Spirit and fulfill God's purposes and destiny. That is the essence of what our life is supposed to be. It is not supposed to be building a church. It's supposed to get into the life and destiny of Holy Spirit. It is supposed to that. This church will thrive if you will simply move into the Spirit of the Lord and allow Him to do His work. Amen? I really believe that. Move beyond your negative. Move beyond empty seats. Move beyond it. Get your image right. What's God called you to do in this church? Move beyond that. Chris and I've talked, and I think I said this last time I preached, Chris. But he prays all the time. And he often says, nobody comes. Do I keep praying? And I said to him, in fact, I know I said this last time I preached. I said to him, I have for years had Tuesday night prayer meeting with myself and another person. That's it. Me and Jesus. But from God's perspective, He said, go and pray on Tuesday nights. And that's what I did. Amen? And we went beyond. So this is very important. So we move beyond the negative, the downcast. In America today, church, you've got to get a hold of something. Because if you let this culture continue to control your life, you are in for a very rough walk and a very unhappy, unstable life. I'm telling you that tonight. And what's coming, all right, there's some stuff coming. Revival is coming. In fact, it's on its way. Awakening is coming. But there, along with that, is the enemy's force to try to stop it. So we must understand, you must get rid of your negativeness. You must get rid of the downcasts. Don't come in here and say, downcast, oh, I got to come to church. When we grew up in the Spirit, we all had problems. But when we came to church, it was enthusiastic. It was exciting. I couldn't wait to get there. I don't know if I like the way worship and pray. That didn't make a difference. You got to change your attitude and change your perspective. I'm trying to help this church move forward today. Our first Spirit-filled service, the power of God fell. When we went to a Spirit-filled church in Virginia, all they had was a guy and a piano and no sound system. But that didn't stop them because they believed and God moved. And so we, today in this church, I trust we can cross over something today. We got to get rid of the survivor mentality. You're not survivors. It's unbiblical to think that way. Oh, this church, Pastor Mark, we're just going to survive until enough people come. Maybe we'll pay the bills. So let's just survive. I don't survive. I haven't survived a long time because God said I'm more than a conqueror. And if I have a need, He knows my need before I ask it. And I simply start proclaiming and decreeing and declaring according to what God said, His view, His perspective, that we move beyond the negative garbage and into the power of Holy Spirit where there is life. And each one of us needs to do that, not only in the house here, but in our homes. Is that all right? Because the attitude and the atmosphere of any church, and I say we're talking about this one, is a direct correlation and reference to your attitude at home. It's just now collective here. So if your home is a chaos and you come in, eventually you will bring chaos wherever you are. But God says, move beyond that. For I've not given you chaos, but I've given you peace. Can I hear an amen on that? I'm meddling, but I knew I was going to meddle anyways. And so you need to step beyond the survivor mentality. Step into the move of Holy Spirit. Start stepping and start coming to this place believing God's going to move. When we started this place, we there was no question God was going to do something. We had times in the school, and Chris, you remember that? Amen. We had times in the school up there. Amen. By the way, I want to say this while he's looking, seeing him sitting back there. There's only one person left from the original meeting 29 years ago. One person, and that's John Penfield. He's walked with us for 29 years. His friends have, listen to me. John had a vision. His friends left him. When they left the church, they wanted him to go. He says, no, God said. This man has stuck through thick and thin. Some of his friends won't even talk to him because he stayed here. But John had a perspective of God in this building. Amen? It's all good. And so we must move into the with faith, a new level of faith, a new anticipation, a new expectation. Let's come here believing. Let's get some risk in here. Let's risk. How about risk next Sunday coming here and that there's going to be all kinds of new people and God's power is going to fall and someone's going to be healed? Well, I'm not concerned about people being healed. Well, I am. Why is that? Because the Bible says signs and wonders are for the believer to believe stronger. Is that what it is? No. Signs and wonders are for those who do not believe. No signs and wonders, no believing of those who don't know Jesus. There were times in the school that we would have new people there. I said, oh, not today, Lord. Oh, there's so many new people. Oh, not today, Lord. Sure enough, God has said, I want you to call everybody up here. There was one Sunday that we called the people up. It was just the power of God was so great. I know you've experienced this stuff. The power of God was so great. I just simply, they're all at me. I didn't touch anybody. I just walked by and shut down about something like that. And every one of them slain in the spirit. Every one of them falling over. Okay? Touched by God. And it wasn't, oh, I hope I'm going to be. It was under the power of Holy Spirit. Lives changed instantaneously. And so we got to believe again. Amen? I have to move on quickly. The life in the kingdom of God is a life of faith, going beyond. And one's comfort zone, get beyond that, and a lifestyle. God is calling us to go beyond who we are. Can I hear an amen on that? And it's very, very important. Go beyond, amen, is a life that lives in the Spirit. You cannot live in the Spirit and not have faith. You cannot have faith if you do not move into the beyond. The two go hand in hand. Amen? For this to happen, I want to just say this. Each believer must set their face to the wind of the Spirit. Each believer. Set your face to the wind. Set your face to the Holy Spirit. So I don't care what you do. Make a fool out of me. You don't hear that anymore, but in a charismatic movement, and I'm not going back to what was, but there are some things that happened that were pretty powerful. And that was, we didn't care about being a fool for Jesus. We wanted just to be something for Jesus. When we went to work, we didn't hide our Christianity. We did our jobs, but we weren't incognito Christians. I can remember it was most of us are carrying little daggers. Anybody hear what a dagger is? Do you know what a dagger is, brother? What's a dagger? It's a small pocket New Testament that you can read on lunch hour and not be offensive to anybody. We did crazy things. We didn't care. Why? Because of Jesus. Because we saw what he saw. Set your face to the wind of the Spirit. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. Colossians 3:2. This is something that we've got to capture in the church. You've got to get your mind off where you're at and get it up in the heavenlies. And start believing, okay? And start taking hold of things in the Spirit. Even, and it's going to be a risk. Oh, what happens if God doesn't come through? Amen. Greater level of faith I need. What happens if I step out in faith and I fall flat on my face? Amen. I did it for Christ. What happens if I go pray for someone and they get mad at me? Amen. Get mad at me. What happens if someone's offended if I speak in tongues? Shout out, Abbasete. I didn't care. I was compassionate, loving, but I was obedient. And when God tells you to do something, you got to do it. That's what this house was birthed into. A move of God's Spirit, being obedient to what he wants. And the other one is seek first the kingdom of God with righteousness, and that's Matthew 6:33. We all know these scriptures, but the problem is we know them, but do we activate them in our lives? All faith and belief and hope must rest in God the Father, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. All faith and hope must rest in those three. There is, listen to me, church, there is no other answer. There is no other pathway of victory. There is no more. There is nothing without them. There is no hope for restoration and reconciliation of any believer or even a church body without us first, amen, having faith, belief, and hope in our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ and his Spirit. Zechariah 1:3 says, and I love this scripture because we reached this point in America, and we reached this point, I will say, even in some aspects of this house. Therefore they said to him, therefore say to them, instruction, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. If things aren't going right in our life, the first thing we must do is return to the Lord and get his perspective so that we can move on. Are you with me? Because without God's perspective, you will never get out of your junk. And it's going to take a risk. It's going to take faith. So godly perspective of what is it to move beyond? It means to move further. It means to go beyond. It means to go to the other side. God's perspective of beyond is if I have a problem, I am not going to capture that problem. I'm going to step beyond it, get wisdom to solve it. I am not going to allow my issues in life. How many of you have ever had a financial challenge? You don't have to raise your hands like that because everybody, just about everybody does. Okay? And what we do is we bury ourselves in our finances instead of going to God and listening to his perspective. Are you with me? Is that all right if I talk about this a little bit? Because I remember a time I had nothing. Nothing. I didn't have money to buy food. I had a little bit of money. No money to buy food. And I complained to the Lord. I said, I need to know what you would do and what you want me to do. He says, give it away. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. By giving it away, I stepped into give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken down. Are you with me? So I stepped beyond my fear. How many of you have fear of finance? Don't raise your hand. Fear of the unknown. You have fear. The reason we don't step into the unknown is because we're afraid of it. Because we don't trust the Lord. Are you with me? We have times when we stepped into the presence of the Lord, we don't know what's going to happen. And if I'm in the presence of the Lord, quite frankly, doesn't make a difference. It's all good. And so to go beyond means to get outside of yourself. Step beyond your understanding into the scriptures. Well, how do I know that I'm not going crazy? Well, one of the reasons you know is that you have a pastor that is a man of the word. I will say that because I talk to him all the time. Okay? How do I know how to get out beyond myself and not be a flake out there or floating around out there? You know because you understand and you read daily. You read the word of God. I said daily. Well, I don't understand it. Daily. Well, I'm not a scholar. Daily. I don't have time. Daily. In the Word of God. Now, when we grew up, we had to hide our daggers, right? We had to walk around our little pocket Bibles. Today, it's almost a curse. Because now everybody not only has the Bible, but has 50,000 commentaries, dictionaries, and everything else in their phone. And now, we don't even understand the Bible like we used to when we didn't have all that stuff. Are you with me? Because we're too interested in all the other stuff than God's perspective in my life. It means to move on in excess. It means to overcome. Amen? I'm not going to get into the scripture, but I want to tell you a story. It's found in Deuteronomy 3. And it's a great example of God's perspective. Deuteronomy 3, verses 18 through 20, of that nature. Also talked about it in Joshua. But God had his people, and God promised land and inheritance and gave them a land. He promised them the land. Amen? And all the people had to do is to go possess the land. Are you with me? In fact, God so gave the instructions that not only will you possess the land, but you must take care of your brother and sister that they may have rest and possess the land. Now, there's one hitch of them possessing the land, and that's why he brought the armed soldiers, the mighty men of valor and the men of battle, because God said to his people, your promised land, your the land that you want, your inheritance, is on the other side of the Jordan. And in order to possess your land, you must, verse 18 says, you must go over. Amen? And that word over is beyond. And then for everybody else to capture the land beyond the Jordan, they had to do certain things. Now, I want to say this to you because in order to cross the Jordan, it is a decision that everyone has to make. Am I going to obey God in God's perspective? He gave us the land. We now have to cross it. And there was a war. There was a war for them to do that. Amen? In fact, the key to the story is crossing the Jordan in order to possess and obtain and to lay hold of that which God had promised them. They had to cross the Jordan. God gave them the land, but they had to go beyond themselves to obtain it. They had to cross the Jordan to obtain it. Amen? What does that take? To cross the Jordan, to lay hold of it, it's going to take them to believe. To go across that Jordan in that time, to capture the land, to do the battle, they had to believe. Amen? They believed that that's what God said, because Moses and Joshua, there's all the instructions of two of them between Joshua and Deuteronomy. Amen? And so they had to cross the Jordan, and they had to exercise their faith. They had to believe going across that it was worth the battle to get what God promised. I said it was worth the battle to get what God promised me. See, today's culture, you promised me, give it to me. And God said, no, get your weapons, get your armor on, go over the Jordan, and take possession of what I've already given you. Are you with me? But in today's culture, we will be mad at God, leave the church, because God promised me something, and he just didn't give it to me. And God said, no, you must go after it and possess. This church has got destiny. But I'll guarantee you it's on the other side of the Jordan. You have a man, a Joshua, to lead you across. But you got to go across. You got to go beyond where you're at to capture what God has given. Amen? It takes to do this, an exercising of faith. It takes the cross to Jordan. It takes obedience. Obedience. That's what God's after for his people. Obedience. Amen? Excuse me. And what I mean by that is, I had a book one time. It sat on our coffee table for 2 or 3 years when we were in Virginia, and God was stripping us of everything we own, literally, because he wanted our attention, not our tokens. And we literally had a book sitting on the coffee. I never read the book. Pastor Mark, from this day, I haven't read the book. But on the book, it's yellow and green. It has a highway. In simple words. Amen? Beyond blessing to obedience. God wants us to go beyond what we think we want and obey him. Are you with me? Is this too tough or is this all right? I'm trying to be kind. I'm trying not to yell and scream. I can do that. See, the promise that God had for his people, we're on the other side of the Jordan. There's many references to beyond the Jordan. Even in Jesus' time, they said he went beyond the Jordan, beyond the Jordan. You look at the New Testament, it's beyond the Jordan, beyond the Jordan. And the essence and the principle of that is that everyone has a Jordan. Are you with me? And you see, the people of God, they had to go over, and not only could they possess the land, but they couldn't stay there until they made all their brothers and sisters go beyond also. And so you see, the self-centeredness I'm talking about is if I go beyond who I am, Pastor Mark, to possess what God's given me, I must be sure that Pastor Daniel goes beyond what God has promised and given to you. It's my responsibility. Because if I can go beyond and capture what God gave me, then do I owe it to you to help you do the same thing? You see, that's family. That's what your community groups are all about. Amen? And so, to go across the Jordan, I also want to say, then I'll start to close. And it's something that you got to understand, because you see, you must be prepared to fight for what God gave you. We have had things done to us in this region. Brother John and Chris, some of those have been around. Rachel's another one's been with us most of the time. And then Pastor Mark and Missy came in there. But you got to understand that God wants us to go beyond everything that's ever done to you. I could tell you stories of devastation in this house. 2000 was one of them. And I said to God, I yelled at God, I said, I didn't sign up for this, God. I've said this to you before. This is awful. This is terrible, God. What's going on? I didn't sign up for this. And his compassion, because he saw a different perspective than I saw. His compassion was this. Yes, you did. Get in there and preach Sunday morning like you have a house full of people. And the next Sunday morning, even though I had to be encouraged by George Frost to come out of my office, I preached. We worshiped. And the presence and power of God came in that Sunday after this horrible thing happened to us. Like nothing had ever happened. Because God. Amen? Let me work on a closing here quickly. And so I did all this for the Jordan. How many of you understand the nation of Israel and God's people had to cross the Jordan? They had to battle across the Jordan. They had to have faith. They had to get over beyond the Jordan in order to get the promise. Are you with me? So my question today is simply this, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. What is your Jordan that exists between you and God's promises? Do you have a victory mindset to possess all that God promised and that he already has given you? How many of you know that God promised you something like the land, that they were crossing the Jordan for. How many of you know that they weren't going to get with God? They are going to possess what God already gave them. So if God promised you something, he's already given it to you, you've just got to go get it. Are you with me? And so I say to you this day, and working on closing here, I want to just say this to you. What is your Jordan? What's stopping you personally from capturing everything God wants you to have? What is your Jordan? What do you have to battle? What do you have to have faith to get over? What do you have to believe God beyond that you have to go beyond? What is your Jordan? Because God's perspective is, you've already crossed, and what I promised you is waiting for you. You just have to take God's perspective. I've already won. I already got the victory, and go beyond the Jordan. Amen? Am I making any sense? Is your Jordan maybe your belief system? Maybe you got a problem believing. Maybe you got a problem. Oh, I don't believe the Holy Spirit moves like that today. Well, you got to get in your Bible because God has not changed one iota. He moved. When I grew up, power, might, spirit, and people being slain in the spirit, he's still going like that today. It's just that Americans are so hung up in themselves, he can't do it here anymore. But you go anywhere overseas, I'm not going to go there. It says, what is your Jordan? Is your faith, your willingness to trust God, is that your Jordan? Is that your willingness to take a risk on God, is that your Jordan that you must battle over, must go through, and must step beyond? Is that your Jordan? I can't risk giving. I can't risk it. It's too much for me. Fine, stay in your poverty. But God says to move beyond. What is your Jordan? Is your faith, your willingness to trust God, to take a risk, church? I know we took a risk 29 years ago, but we didn't think about it that way, did we? We didn't think it was a risk. God told us to do it. He's got our backside. We don't consider the risk. We never have considered the risk. Is your Jordan your flesh and your self-centered lifestyle? Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what Holy Spirit can put on the paper. Is your Jordan that you can't be on is your self-centeredness? I'm so hung up with me, I can't look beyond me to accomplish anything in life, particularly build the body of Christ. Now, I've been around a long time. I've been over 49 years, something like that. Been in the ministry, probably 36 of those. We've seen it all. But the one destructive thing I have seen is the self-centeredness and flesh that stops people from going beyond. Because culture and society has convinced you that if you don't look like this, their perspective, if you don't do this, their perspective, then you will never succeed. I appreciate what you said about Successor Church last week. It was last week, is that right? Well, let's measure the church by what everybody tells us it's supposed to be. Let's measure it by that. And that way, Pastor Mark, you're just not making it. Well, I'm going to tell you something, brother. Go tell that to God. Because as far as God's concerned, you're right where he wants you to be. You be encouraged, and you fight. Because the land God promised this house is beyond the Jordan. It's right there. Are you with me? Little personal note, I'm sorry. Pastor Mark and I, he knows me. Is your river Jordan your career? Oh, you mean my job comes before my service to God? No, I would never do that. Uh-huh. My career is more important, even if it takes me out of church. Go tell God that too. You're talking about an old time. I'm on in years. I'm not concerned about people thinking me anymore. So I'm going to tell it like it is. Because if your career is stopping you from serving God, you got to get another career and start serving God. Now that's old time preaching, Mark, but that's okay. All right, here's another one. Are you ready for me? I just got a couple more and then I'm going to close. Is your River Jordan your family? That's next. Are you with me? When we started this, in fact, when we got saved, my father, who is the apple of my eye, we had dinner every Sunday. And it went on until Sunday night. When we got saved, our church had services on Sunday night. I'll never forget the day I had to sit there and say, Mom, you've got to get dinner ready earlier because we're leaving at 5 o'clock. What do you mean you're leaving at 5? We're going to church. What, do you become one of those holy rollers? You're going to go to church on Sunday night? You can't do that. We battled our family. We battled them in love. But our service and perspective of God was we need to go beyond family pressure to be what God called us to be. And one of the biggest deterrents of anybody doing what God's called you to be is family pressure. Say, everybody say it, amen. Are you all right? Is your River Jordan your children? I'll tell you. Is it your children? Because the world says you better take care of them the way the world says and make sure they don't miss their sports or anything else. And so you need to make sure they're at practice Sunday morning. So now the big question in America after all these years is that why are our youth leaving, not serving God? Because we taught them they didn't have to. I'm done. You don't have to like me. You have to look up at him next week. But I'm here to help this church go forward. I remember Steve Hill, the evangelist in Brownsville, said his son was one of the best soccer players in school. And the coach said, we're starting soccer practice on Sunday morning. And Steve Hill said, son, who do you serve first? Your God or your coach? And his son begrudgingly said, I'll be in church, Dad. Amen? Now, that sounds nasty because it sounds like I'm bucking culture. You're right. And I'm old enough to do it. Is your River Jordan your commitment to the local church body? Is your River Jordan everything else comes first before developing the local church body? And I won't go into that because I think you all know what I'm talking about. The River Jordan is your Jordan is, I got so much to do, I can't help God build. Help God. You're an instrument in God's hands. Amen? Do you know what the biggest thing in America is right now? I can love God. I don't have to go to church. I can just go online. Ooh, I feel the presence of God. You remain unchanged, undiscipled, a renegade, and you'll end up to be a snowflake Christian because you have no substance, because rooting and substance takes place in the local church assembly. Is it you're that... Is your River Jordan is that you're held captive by the Babylonian culture? Does the Babylonian culture, which means, if you don't know what the culture in Babylon was, that people could do everything they want, but they were held captive because they couldn't. They were free to own their own homes, but they weren't free to believe what they wanted to. You're free. You got more in this country than we've ever had. Amen? The last one. Is your River Jordan your commitment to a life of the Spirit, being sold out to God and trusting Him? Every individual goes through life with presented with an opportunity And I will close with this. I have more, but I can close with this. Every individual throughout life is presented with an opportunity. I want you to hear me now. By God, to go beyond themselves. Every individual is presented with an opportunity by God to go beyond yourself. Step into and embrace something larger than you and more powerful than you. When one goes beyond the status quo and challenges themselves, they enlarge and mature themselves into a new level of faith. The church today is walking in a low level of faith and belief is because no one is challenged anymore. They have pastors now, okay, that are afraid to challenge the people because they'll leave the church. Amen? You can have some music back there. We'll close now. I wanted to say something because you remember the first day you came? What caused you to stay in the church except God prophesied over your family? And it wasn't easy. Probably God told you what was wrong and what you had to fix. Remember that? First time you were at our church, you were called forth, prophesied over. On the floor for how long? Slain in the spirit on the phone floor for about an hour. Couldn't move. I said couldn't move. And so I want you to understand. Let's get God's perspective and move beyond. Amen? Let's rise up and understand that we are seated in heavenly places. Let's understand that. Let's start looking at your problem from heaven down and not from earth up. Seek those things which are above. We've already said that. Believe that your position has been established in God's kingdom. And your position has been established here on earth. So saying all this in closing, I will say one thing. I dub all this and I ask the Lord, I just need something. He says, just call it the beyond factor. People have got to start living in the beyond factor. Beyond factor. Beyond factor. I have a problem in my life. Listen to me. What is the beyond factor? I'm facing a momentous health channel. What is the beyond factor? Let's all stand to our feet. So God is after us. And so I want to leave you with three things. And I'm going to believe, how many of you would like to see Holy Spirit just blow through this place and just mess everybody up? How many of you would like to see the Holy Spirit move here so strongly that people driving down Eastview Drive would say, I've got to get to that building because the power of God's there? Go beyond. Start declaring. Start believing. I can't believe for you. I believe when we started this house, I cannot believe for you. I am not your pastor, but I am saying something. I know your pastor, and I know this man's heart. And you've got to take this house with this pastor. Get alongside of him and start making this place a revival center for New England. Start making this place a fire where Holy Spirit comes, where people who need healing will come here. They won't go to some doctor. Amen? That's nothing wrong going to a doctor, but we got to believe that. The beyond factor. So let's look at this. Let's embrace the beyond factor. See things from God's perspective. Trust and obey. And then go beyond. Beyond factor. I trust that everyone here, I'm going to start believing that as services here, we're going to start seeing the power of Holy Spirit flow. I don't sense to do that right now. I was coming here saying, Lord, we're going to just get people to come up front and release. But God said, no. You've got to get a hold of God yourself. I could pray for you and you could be slain in the spirit. What's that do for you except bring you to a place where you need to make a decision? What's my beyond factor? Where do I go from here? Church has a need. What's my beyond factor? I need healing. What's your beyond factor? I got a problem in my job. What's your beyond factor? I got a family problem. What's your beyond factor? I can't handle this anymore. What's your beyond factor? Your beyond factor is capture life through the perspective of the living God.
Amen. You know, church, all I'm going to say, I'm not going to add anything onto that. I'm just going to tell you, when I went on staff here full-time, which was 11 years ago in change, I remember one of my family members said to me, "What, are you putting all your eggs in that basket of that church?" And I said, "No, I'm putting all my eggs in God's basket." And boy, there's so, come on, church, we've all been there, man. Stuff comes at us, gets fear, we get, oh, what if this happens, what if that happens, man? You know, we need to start shifting our perspective and say, what if God shows up? We typically look, what if God doesn't show up and we don't do anything? But what if I step out and God does show up? Amen. So, Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for hearing. I pray that I know I'm going to listen to this one again. I'm probably going to put it in my car when I'm driving around, just let it get into my spirit. Because I tell you what, church, I wrote down, I wasn't on Facebook on my phone, I was taking notes saying, what is my Jordan? What's my Jordan? What is that thing that I'm looking at that's scary? Come on, church, if you think about when they crossed the Jordan, it was flooding. You jump in that, you're going to die, you drown. Amen? What's your Jordan? Father, I pray that as we ask that question this week, honestly, I love what Pastor El said at the end. We can lay hands on you, you fall down, and that's great, but you still got to get up and make a decision. What is our Jordan? Holy Ghost, I pray this week as we ask that question honestly, that fear doesn't back us away from the answer. That when you speak, we'll say, yes, Lord, I am crossing my Jordan. I'm getting what you've already prepared for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Listen, everybody. We have some cake and some coffee. We hope everybody will stay. Please stay just for a little bit. Hang out, fellowship a little bit. Everything's in the back room over here. So please stay and help us eat some of that food and fellowship a little bit. And let's hang out a little bit as family and celebrate God's goodness for 29 years. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.